Amen. How many were here last week? What did we learn? I see the hands of God now. We learned about who is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we read from the book of Acts. And we were able to understand that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's the third person of the Trinity. And he came to be our helper. To become our advocate. To become our friend. To walk with us. And to make us effective witnesses for the gospel. And when he makes us witnesses, it is by the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then on the day of Pentecost, what happened is that the Holy Spirit came upon the believers. And they were able to speak with other tongues. And on that day, Peter stood up and spoke. Peter. And he preached, and 3,000 people received the gospel. So the Holy Spirit has come to the believer. And you see, you also understand there are two dimensions of the Holy Spirit. There is the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives inside a believer. That is the indwelling. The day you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and enters your human spirit and makes you born again. So it is only by the Holy Spirit that you become a believer. So there is no way anyone can be a Christian except by the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So the Holy Spirit comes to regenerate your human spirit. And he makes you a new creation. But then also there is a second dimension of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes upon the believer. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the believer, this is what we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is where you are now soaked in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that you received when you received Jesus starts to well up in your life and springs up, and then you receive what is now the anointing upon you to do. And this anointing allows you to do certain gifts. Some gifts may come like speaking in tongues. Some people will receive gifts of healing. Others will receive gifts of faith. Others will receive gifts of working of miracles. But this happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that is why we say that this is a separate experience. And if you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is able to come upon you. But you see, today we want to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, fruit is a product of the life of the Holy Spirit working in your life. And we will focus today on the fruit of love. The fruit of love. Why is the fruit important? Because Jesus said that you shall know them by their fruits. There are people who have power. There are people who have miracles. But with the same mouth they do the miracles, it's the same mouth they can slap someone. They can also curse someone. They do miracles, but they want to steal your money. So you will ask yourself, how does this person have the power of God, but he does not demonstrate the life of God? He does not demonstrate the nature of God. This is because this person has not allowed the Holy Spirit to teach them the way of righteousness. Yes, you have received the Holy Spirit, but until you submit yourself to him as Lord, and that you listen to his voice, and that you follow after him, then is when your life will bear fruit. Jesus said, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it bears alone. But when it dies, it bears much fruit. That means that you yourself, your selfish nature, sin, katia, your sinful nature, until you submit it to the cross of Calvary, that is when your life will start to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because the sin is the word of God. Luke 11:25, the seed is the word of God. But then when the seed bears fruit in your life, it now results in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the indwelling Holy Spirit, his job is to bring out the fruit. So there are people who can have power. You start to fast. You start to pray. After 30 days, you start seeing visions. You start praying for people, they start to heal. Why? Because you have activated the power. So the Holy Spirit gives you the power to manifest him. But the indwelling Holy Spirit is to build your character. Your character as a Christian. So the Holy Spirit has two functions. One for the people, for the body of Christ. And one to make you go to heaven. Because Paul said, after I have preached to others, may I not be disqualified. Because Jesus on that last day said, you preached in my name. You prophesied in my name. You healed the sick in my name. And he said, depart from me, I don't know you. Workers of iniquity. That means there are people who had the gift, but they did not have the fruit. So the fruit is very important. So let us read Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse 22 to 26. The Bible says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 26. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are of Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit, remember, it does not say the fruits of the Spirit. That means it is speaking about one fruit. That means this fruit has many parts. That means that when you are bearing the fruit of the Spirit, we are going to see all these nine fruits, nine mentioned that are here. We are going to see love in your heart. We are going to see joy. We are going to see peace. We are going to see patience. We are going to see kindness. We are going to see goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is very important to understand that when we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, He is going to release the fruit in our lives. So what is love? I believe everyone knows what is love. People say that love is a feeling.
Huh?
It's an emotion. Is it a feeling that you want to care for someone? That you want to show kindness to them. You want to show that you are close to them. You want to express passion and intimacy. That you trust this person. That you protect them. That you want to spend time with them. That you find yourself, you are just giving to them. When they ask for something, you don't even ask twice. You are ready to sacrifice to this person. You put them ahead of yourself. When you see that you love someone, when they call you, you stop what you are doing. You want to hear, maybe there is a problem. And you want to respond immediately. For those of you who are married, or maybe those who are dating, remember the time when you are looking after your wife. You can call for 1 hour. The only thing that will stop you is the power. Because if it is airtime, you have put kifaya, you have put enough. Maybe that's the battery of the phone going down. And you will just be saying, you know, I miss you. You know, I like your hair. I like your smile. I like your shape. Even your stomach is still nice. You see, when people are loving one another, everything is funny. Even the way they talk, they make you smile. You just call someone, you say, hey, I just wanted to hear your voice. But what is wrong with my voice? No, it's just like music to me. It's like lullaby. When people are in love, nothing is wrong. In fact, they say love is blind. Because even if the man is short, he is very tall to you. Even if the lady is thin, she is okay to you. Even if the man is black, you say that is the best black you have ever seen. But what happens after some time? They talk, you say, ah, you're irritating me. They call you, say, ah, I don't want to talk to this person. What happened? The love went down. The Bible said in the last days, because of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. So the Holy Spirit is the one to pour out His love into our hearts and to produce love that we can love people, that we can love God. You know, when we talk about love, the Greeks used to have four words for love. They had four words for love. Number one is what? Agape.
Agape.
Agape, it means the love of God. This is the unconditional and sacrificial love of God. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means that God, while you are still a sinner, He sent His Son to die for you. This is a love that was not even waiting for you to respond. When someone has agape, it's like Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That means you have decided to forgive someone even before they ask for forgiveness. This is agape, the love of God, the unconditional love of God that is selfless and sacrificial. The second type of love that the Greeks said is philia. P-H-I-L-I-A. Philia. This means brotherly love. Love between friends. This is, it's like you are, you know, you can love your brother. You can love your friend. You know, when you meet me with Brother Bojo, Abuna Bojo, you can talk. This is a love of brotherhood. You respect them. Your friendship does not depend on anything. Then there is a third type of love, which is called storge. Storge. S-T-O-R-G-E. S-T-O-R-G-E. Storge. Now this is love among parents to their children, families. This is where the parent loves the child. When a child is crying, the mother will hear it even if the mother is sleeping. When your child is sick, as a father, you cannot be okay. This is a protective love. And then the fourth type of love is Eros. E-R-O-S. This is the love that is between a couple. This is the passionate love that wants you to have, you know, relationship with your spouse. Now, this you cannot have Eros between a man and a man, no. But this is between the married people. So there are four types of love. And in the scripture, the command of love is the most important commandment. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 40, the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" They were asking him, which is the greatest commandment in the Ten Commandments, in the law? And Jesus replied, verse 37, that love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and this is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus summarized the whole Ten Commandments into one. That if you are to obey the commandments of God, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And they said then the second one is like it. That means love your neighbor as you love yourself. Is there anyone here who hates himself? That you just sit and you hate yourself? No, everyone loves themselves. You want to put on a nice shirt. You want to eat good food. You want to eat until you are satisfied. Until you beg. That is someone who loves themselves. But someone who does not love himself will just be smoking the whole day. We'll be drinking Monday to Monday. They don't remember when to eat. They don't remember when to bathe. They don't remember even to go to the toilet. They just release on themselves. This is someone who does not love themselves. So, two commandments. Love God and love other human beings. Because without love, our lives become like a machine. Wake up. Go brush your teeth.
So we
bathe. Go to work. Come back. Eat. Bathe. Sleep.
No.
Without love, our lives are mechanical. Without love, even if you serve in church, you are doing it without the heart of God. Have you seen people who are always complaining? I'm the only one who is working in this church. I'm the only one who is doing in this house. The work becomes heartless, mind gilba. And it bears no fruit. Without love, how can we demonstrate that we love God? In fact, if we read the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and this is the chapter that talks about love. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, from verse 1, the Bible says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. This means this person was speaking in tongues. He was speaking even in the tongues of angels. Releasing the tongues. But he's looking at people and saying, these people don't even know how to pray. Let me show them. And then they start bending. Why? Because in their heart, they want everyone to know I am the only prayer warrior. But the day when the demons appear, you see them running away. You tell them, you have been praying tough. Now go and cast that one. They said, no. That demon might enter me. Because they were speaking with tongues of men and angels, they have the gift. But the Holy Spirit has not allowed, they have not allowed the Holy Spirit to bear the fruit of love in their hearts. So, the Bible says you are just like a resounding gong. Gong, gong, gong. Or a clanging cymbal. Gang, gang. That means when you are behaving like that, when you are praying like that, without love, how God is hearing? God is hearing. You think you are praying, but God is hearing noise. Look at verse number 2. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. That means that you can have miracles. You can be a preacher. You can have prophecies. You can have mysteries. That means when you talk, people are just writing notes. What is revelation? Revelation, revelation. But the Bible says if you don't have love, that means that you have not allowed the fruit of love to come. You are nothing. Look at verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Have you met people who love giving? When politicians are giving you money, are they giving you because they love you? They give you because they want your votes. They want you to love them. God is saying, even if you give your body to be burnt and you don't have love, you are nothing. And then verse 4, it tells us what is love. And that is agape.
They have agape.
Love is patient.
Mohaba, the sober.
What is patience? Patience is waiting for someone. Men, in the morning when you are ready for church, and you are the only one who is ready, how do you feel in your heart? Are you there? Muswande. You'll just be saying this, women.
Muswande.
Love is
patient.
And I want, instead of love, I want to put you to put your name there.
Yeah.
Say, my name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel is patient.
Ruth is patient.
Say your name. Patience is patient. Emmanuel is patient. Eh? Let us read the second one. Love is kind. Put your name there. Emmanuel is kind. Say your name. Number 3 says, it does not envy. That means I am not jealous. Say, Emmanuel is not jealous. If you have the love of God, if you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you are going to be patient. You are going to be kind. You are not going to be jealous. Number 4, it says it does not boast. Love does not boast. It is not proud. Say Emmanuel is not proud. Put your name there. Say I am not boasting. Say if you have been boasting, say I will not be boasting. Amen?
Amen.
And then look at what does the verse 5 say. Love does not dishonor others. That means that put your name there, I will not dishonor people. Emmanuel does not dishonor others. Look at the next word. Love is not self-seeking. Say Emmanuel will not seek for myself. Put your name there. Say, I am not self-seeking. I will not be seeking for myself alone. Look at the next one about love. Love is not easily angered. Say, Emmanuel is not easily angered. Put your name there. If we say we love people, are we easily angered? That means anything small, you just want to slap. And some children suffer many slaps because of parents who are easily angered. Or some men or women suffer very much in their houses because of easily angered. How do they know you in your office? When someone has a problem, can they come to you? Or they say, that one, don't approach. Don't go to them. The way I have seen the face, keep distance. You know, when you are moving next to big truck, they say keep your distance. Because if you knock yourself, you are the one in problem. Keep distance. Look at the next one, love. It keeps no record of wrongs. Say your name, put your name there. Say your name. I keep no record of wrongs. This is where many people have problems. They can remember what you did in 1991. On Saturday, on 3rd of September, at 2 p.m., it was even 2 p.m. and 30 seconds. They remember the exact time. What you said. What you said and how you said it. Love. If we want to walk with the fruit of the Spirit, we want the love that is the love of God. We have to submit ourselves to God and say, God, I have been keeping record of this love. It is time that I let them go. It is time that I release them from my heart. It is important to forgive people. People will hurt you. And I assure you, the reason they hurt you is because they are close to you. If mama is far from me, there's no way I can step on her leg. If we are walking, there's no way I can step on her leg. And if she hurts me, and I don't even know her, she abused me that I am a dog. I would say, but I am not a dog. Because she is far from me. But when someone is close to you, your brother, your husband, your sister, someone knows your girlfriend, your boss, when you are walking together, it is possible that I can step on them. Because they are near. And because they are near, it is going to pain more. But love keeps no record of wrongs. The Bible says love does not delight in evil. If someone is doing something wrong, it is love to tell them this is wrong. If something is wrong, it is wrong. Don't see someone doing the right thing, the wrong thing, and you say, oh, I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to hurt their feelings. If your pastor loves you, he will correct you. But if you are immature, you will run away from the church. But love also disciplines. God says God disciplines the one he loves. And some people need discipline. If not from God, at least from the world. Nindunia is better because the rabbi can be very tough. Okay. So listen to the discipline first of man before it comes to God. Love rejoices with the truth. Say, I rejoice with the truth. That means if something is happy, we rejoice together. Let us be people who speak the truth. No lies in our mouth. Verse 7 says, love always protects. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. And the Bible says love never fails. Do we have this love? Verse 13 says, now these three remain. Faith,
iman,
hope,
Rajya,
and love.
Muhabba.
But the greatest of these is love. That means the greatest thing that God wants you to have. That means if you have love, you will obey all the commandments of God. Just before you say something to someone, ask yourself, is this from love? Or this is because of pride? Or is because I am angry? If we always question ourselves, the Holy Spirit will tell you stop. Just keep quiet. You don't need to answer this one now. Another time will come, you will talk about this. The Holy Spirit can show you that you, yes, you are right. But at this point, you're also wrong. The Holy Spirit will tell you to go and apologize first. You will say, this person is still wicked. But if you want the fruit, remember, we are not talking about the one on top of you. We are talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Because people want the one for others. The one that is making you shine. The one that will make you stand and preach before people. But God wants you first. Jesus told his disciples, he called them to be fasting with him. Then he might send them. That means sending is a might, is a baby. But the most important is God wants you to be with him. You cannot love people without loving God. How can you love God? You love God by giving him the first place. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. That means if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That means in your heart there is only space for the love of God. together with that, there's still no nefes the mohabba with Allah. There is only space for the love of God. The moment you start loving football will take the space of God in your heart. The moment you start loving soap operas, movies, the moment you start loving your phone, you'll find that even in church, in time of preaching, you're on the phone. Because that thing has taken your love. We say love is shown by time. Where is your time? Love is also shown by where is your money. What have you spent your time, your money most on? There are people who their houses are full of clothes. Or watches.
Or outside.
Or shoes.
He's smart.
Or earrings.
Like
in fact, if they have to sell them, they can buy a house. Other than his perfume.
Aria.
Love.
Mohabba.
The Bible says, do not love the world.
Or
anything in the world. So give God the first place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Number two, how do you love God? Obedience to his commands. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So you cannot say you love your parents as a child and you don't obey them. Children demonstrate their love to their parents by obedience. If you send a child and the child refuses to go, and the child is saying, Mama, I love you.
Mama,
I love you. See, you don't love me. I have sent you to go. I don't want this love of mouth. The Bible says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. That means the husband, if he's not seeing submission, then he's not seeing love. And then the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church by giving himself for her. So the wives, if they don't see their husbands sacrificing themselves for their home or for them, they don't see the love. You see how God has done it. For the children is obedience. For the wives is submission. For the husband is sacrificing themselves. So no matter how beautiful a woman is, but she's not submitting, the man will not love. The man will not see love. No matter how much the man says, I love you, I love you, I love you, but he's not giving or sacrificing or return, the woman will say, this man does not love me. There is no love in this house anymore. When you are dating, you used to bring for me sweets. You used to buy me this. This one has stopped. Number three, love. For God is seen by giving of our substance, of our best. When we see your offering, it's good we don't see it. But God sees it. But there was a day Jesus was watching people giving.
So that means pastors can watch also. The way Jesus was watching. And he saw the rich people were giving a lot of money. And he saw an old woman give 2 copper coins. And she said, this woman has given more than everyone else. Because to God, he sees what you have given compared to what he has given you. You know, someone got a contract of 100 million, eh? And then they said, this money is too much to give to tithe to one church. Then God said, so it was a mistake to give you. So it was too much for me to give you. Beloved, if you cannot tithe 1,000, there's no day you will tithe 1 million. And God will say, but why should I make you sin against me? So God will not promote you. Because you are not faithful in the small. Even as a student, be faithful in your giving. God gave the best. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So, loving to God is demonstrated by giving of ourselves. Number 4, you love God by serving him. When Jesus was telling Simon Peter, Jesus told Simon Peter, do you love me more than this fish? Then he said, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. That means serve me. You follow me. There are people God has called you to service of him. You have the gift of the choir, but you are seated in the background. You have the gift of ushering. You think your duty is for just deceiving people. It is for ushering. But you are not serving. You love God by serving him. That smile is to welcome people. Someone will go and think, but at least let me go back to that church. That one, there's a good smile to welcome you. And you love God, number 5, by loving other human beings. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, and whom he has seen, how can he love whom he has not seen? God whom he has not seen. It has become that you love God and you can't love a human being you can see. God is saying you are a liar. So we are going to finish with this. How can we love other human beings? Or how can we grow our love? Maybe your love has grown cold. How can you grow your love again? Number 1, by seeing them in the image of God. Do you know why people kill people? They don't see them as human beings. When the killings were happening in Rwanda, they started calling the other tribe cockroaches. When people want to kill other tribes, they give them funny names. Names that dehumanize them. And the moment they have dehumanized them, they can just kill them. But if you see someone is made in the image of God, that God also died for this person. You think of the worst president. But you know, if that president repents, he will go to heaven. Because also God died for him. That thief, that rapist, if they repent, Jesus said, I also died for that one. Because God, they are made in the image of God. God did not die for angels. He did not die for demons. He did not die for animals and plants. He only died for human beings. So as long as someone is alive, at the back of your mind think that one day God can touch this person. God can have mercy on them. The same way God had mercy on you and saved you and forgave your sins, even when you did not deserve it, and forgot all your sins as far as the east from the west, is the same way God can forgive them. So if you see people in the image of God, you can love them. Number two, when you place others' interests above yourself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend. John 15:13. Greater love has this than to lay your own life for others. Number three, how do you love people? By doing unto them what you want them to do to you. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. We need to be like our Father. He loves both the wicked and also the good. Number four, how do we love people? By offering forgiveness and extending the grace of God to them. God is very keen to warn us. He warns us, Matthew 7 verse 1. Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I'm telling you, if you are harsh with people, your boss will be harsh with you. Because God is very fair. With the measure you use on others, it's the same measure it will be given to you. This verse we said, give and it will be given to you. It's actually about judgment, not about giving. Luke 6:37 to 38. He says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. So with the measure you use, it will be measured for you. That means if you like slapping people, one day you are going to receive many slaps. Jesus said, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. The Bible tells that if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you. You will only love people by forgiving them, even before they ask for forgiveness. And number five, by giving.
was unworthy.
If you want to love someone, give them.
After the Hebrew nas, Odiloma.
Give them gifts.
Odiloma had there.
Maybe it's an in-law who has abused you. Just look for some sugar, one sack, some farm, take to them. Just say, I was passing by to give you this. Their heart will soften. James, the Bible tells James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17 says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister without clothes and daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, and does nothing about their physical needs. What good is it to them? We need to not just love with words, but with actions. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you saw me. You see, if God is love, and the nature of God is love, and you say you are his child, that means that you must have the nature of God. The children of the devil are liars, because the devil has been lying from the beginning. And if you are the child of God, and the Bible says God is love, then that means that you must have the nature of your father. And this is by the Holy Spirit producing the fruit of love. Let us stand and we're going to ask ourselves this question. Do we really have the love of God in our hearts? Is the love of God really there? Or the love of God has grown cold? Do we love people separately? We love others, we don't love others. We forgive others, we don't forgive others. We love certain tribes, we don't love certain tribes. This is a place for reflection as a person. Can you close your eyes and speak to God? And ask him to forgive you. God says, if you forgive others, we shall be forgiven. Is there someone that you need to forgive? Someone hurt you. In this very moment, release them to God. Just release them. Tell them, God, I forgive them. God, have mercy on my heart. Change my heart. Take away the heart of stone in my heart. Give me a heart of flesh. Give me a heart of love. My heart has grown cold. My love has grown cold. I have forsaken my first love. Oh God, have mercy. By your spirit, pour out your love in my heart. Give me a new heart. Give me forgiveness. Give me truth. Give me lack of patience. Give me kindness. Give me goodness. Give me the fruit of the Spirit. Teach me how to talk. Teach me how to speak to love. Teach me how to do the right thing. How to speak the right thing. Speak to God and tell God, God, I am sorry. I need your love. I need the agape kind of love. I need to show love to my brothers. I need to show love to my enemies. I need to show love to those from other tribes. God is here. He's here to help you.
Right?
If you're genuinely and you're praying to him, pray.
And
he's going to hear you. Pray. You know in your heart where you are struggling. Maybe with anger issues. May ask God to show you mercy. Let the fruit of God, let the work of the Holy Spirit cut your heart and bring a new person in you. Let us crucify our selfish nature. Let us put it to the cross and let us depend on Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you that you are the healer. You are the healer of hearts, oh God. Those that have been hurt, oh God. Those that are in need of forgiveness. So their hearts are heavy, oh God. I pray for the Spirit of God to minister unto them, to touch them, oh God, to correct their hearts, oh God, to show them where they are wrong, oh God. May your Spirit move in their hearts, oh God. Father, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're here. And you know you cannot.